Hello and welcome to Ox Talk on Tuesday, the 2nd of June 2026. My name is Jake and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you'll hear a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen by Bridget Doole and Lisa Bent, and read by Bridget Doole and Jake Gutteridge. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 4:48 a.m. and sunset is at 9:09 p.m. Before we start, here is some information on how to listen to Ox Talk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access Ox Talk online.
Notice to listeners of Ox Talk who may wish to use an Alexa smart speaker to access our service. To listen to Ox Talk on an Alexa device, you can use the Talking Newspaper skill. You will need to first enable the skill. To do this, simply say, Alexa, enable talking newspaper. Then, to listen to Ox Talk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open talking newspaper.
Welcome to your talking newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have any problems listening to Ox Talk using an Alexa device, it could be due to the way that your device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set it up in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Ox Talk and we will try to help.
A husband is set to take on a blindfolded challenge in support of his partner and others living with sight loss. Darren will walk 10 miles blindfolded across Oxfordshire alongside his husband Andreas, who is blind, as part of My Vision Oxfordshire's Walk Oxford event to raise funds for the sight loss charity. Darren said, "I want to get even a small glimpse into my husband's daily reality. He's blind, and although I'm with him every day, I know there's a world of difference between watching him navigate life and actually experiencing it myself. By walking 10 miles under a blindfold, I'm putting myself in his shoes, and the shoes of so many others, to understand the focus and trust it really takes to get around." Andreas, who works for My Vision Oxfordshire, said the walk is about showing that sight loss does not have to be a limitation in life. He said, "I know firsthand how isolating it can feel, and how much of a difference it makes when someone is there to help you find your footing. 10 miles feels like a small thing to do for a charity that means so much to me, and for every person out there facing sight loss who just needs to know they don't have to face it alone. All funds raised will support My Vision Oxfordshire's services, including assistive technology training and green walks, nature outings for people with sight loss. Members of the public are encouraged to join or donate to the Walk Oxford Challenge."
Traders at the Covered Market in Oxford have been celebrating working for customers at the historic location. The annual Love Your Local Market campaign ran at the end of last month, and traders celebrated everything that makes local markets special. A spokeswoman for the market said, "When it comes to the Covered Market, it's all about artisan, independent traders specialising in their passions. It's about carefully selected fresh food and produce, unique gifts and fashion, friendly faces, personable new experiences, and centuries of market history, all of course under one beautiful roof in the heart of Oxford. Through the Love Your Market 26, we're asking our traders what they love about being part of the Covered Market and sharing our findings on our Facebook and Instagram pages. We hope you'll enjoy getting to know our traders even better." Fanny Clemente, owner of Il Corno, a Naples-inspired restaurant and cafe, said, "People, people, people, you step into the market and it's filled with human energy. It's electrifying. It fuels us and warms us up, and it grounds us. It's the reason why we love what we do here. Sarah Jordan, owner of YOU Underwear, said, "I love being able to say hello to people I know when I come in each morning, get a drink from someone I know or a present from a friend's shop, and wave at friendly faces all day long." Liz, manager at Gemini Flowers, added, "I love local markets because there's nothing like individual local businesses for special gifts, unique atmospheres, and local knowledge." The City Council, the market owner and landlord, is planning £8 million worth of improvements, and construction work is expected to start in 2027. Traders at the market celebrated its 250th anniversary in 2024. It was officially opened on November 1st, 1774. Conceived under the 1771 Oxford Mileways Act, it was created by John Gwynne to clear messy, unsanitary street stalls from the city centre, while consolidating trade into one central emporium. There is also a market 4 days a week running at Gloucester Green, running from Wednesdays to Saturdays, where there are stalls selling food, clothes and antiques.
Hundreds rode in Oxford, taking part in the Oxford Distinguished Gentleman's Ride, an event that raised more than £34,000 for men's health charities. Dressed smartly in dapper outfits, the participants rode through Oxfordshire on classic and vintage-style motorcycles. The ride included a stop at Radcliffe Square in Oxford for a public photo opportunity, and finished at the Kingsley Cafe in Ensham. The Distinguished Gentleman's Ride is the world's largest motorcycling charity event, taking place this year in more than 1,000 cities across 100 countries. Cities include New York, Mumbai and Los Angeles. In total, more than £5.4 million has been raised globally. It raises funds and awareness for prostate cancer research and men's mental health throughout the Movember Foundation. Founded in Sydney by Mark Hauer, the event was inspired by a photo of Don Draper from Mad Men, who is pictured riding a classic motorcycle in a suit. The organisers also thanked Brasenose College on behalf of all the frontages of Radcliffe Square for hosting them. Donations are still being accepted via the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride website. Next year's event is scheduled for Sunday, 16th of May, 2027.
Bins across parks in Oxford have been overflowing with food wrappers, beer cans and other waste as many people descended on green spaces in the city during the heat wave. Record-breaking hot weather over the May Bank holiday weekend saw crowds of people turn out to outdoor green spaces on riversides and in parks in Oxford, leaving in their wake a huge amount of rubbish. People living near parks such as Hinckley Park in Abingdon Road or Port Meadow have been left very upset by overflowing bins and piles of litter spread across the green spaces. Councillor for Hinckley Park, Anna Railton, said, "Piling up rubbish next to bins is one thing, but leaving it scattered across our parks and green spaces is another. For example, Port Meadow was repeatedly left in an absolute state at the weekend, putting the grazing animals in danger. ODS, Oxford Direct Services, puts on more crews in weather like this to keep on top of it, and they did a great job in getting everything cleaned up quickly. They can't be everywhere all at once, though. We want everyone to enjoy our parks in the good weather, but people should do so responsibly and leave it as they found it for everyone else." It has led to some question whether the City Council's principal public waste management policy for people to take litter they create home with them is sufficient to deal with the heatwave hordes. The Council's network of more than 995 litter bins and 278 dog waste bins across the city are supposed to be checked daily and emptied if half full. Some bins in the busiest areas are emptied up to 8 times a day, according to a briefing paper submitted to the City Council Scrutiny Committee meeting in March. A spokesperson for ODS, the City Council's contracted waste management company, said, "We take great pride in providing fantastic open spaces for everyone to enjoy, particularly during the hot weather and holidays. The city's parks and green spaces faced unprecedented demand over the hot bank holiday weekend, carrying on late into the nights. Despite extra resources, increasing the frequency of emptying litter bins and litter picking, it was still not enough to maintain our usual high standards. We have addressed this and are deploying extra resources to the parks and open spaces and implementing a specific hot weather and bank holiday schedule. This will be coupled with an additional early morning team so we can rectify any late night littering so we can provide the usual high standards for residents and visitors of Oxford to enjoy. The issue is not confined to the city, as South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse District Council shared a joint statement with pictures of overflowing bins in their green spaces and a plea for people to clean up after themselves.
A taxi firm says its business is struggling due to being forced to fork out more than £240,000 on wear and tear repairs due to potholes. 001 Taxis, which is in St Aldate's in Oxford city centre, has spent thousands of pounds on fixing pothole damage for its 500 vehicle fleet, of which 90 are company cars. In April alone, the business forked out £25,000 on car repairs. Manager Jay Akhtar said these figures have increased dramatically in the last couple of years due to the state of Oxfordshire's roads. Suspension-related issues cost a minimum of £15,000 a month, including replacing or fixing shock absorbers, control arms, bushes and track rod ends. These figures don't include its annual £65,000 bill it spends on replacing 1,200 tyres and its £120 MOT charge per car, and that's if there are no faults. Oxfordshire County Council revealed that between February 20th and April 19th, a total of 13,760 potholes were fixed by repair teams, with the rest being dragon patcher repairs. In total, it said 24,330 repairs have been completed, while 4,725 are still waiting attention. But RAC research found Oxfordshire County Council had 488 claims made against it in 2021 and 1,941 in 2024, a 297% increase in 3 years. Mr. Akhtar says he is being deprived of good roads, which is doubling his business costs. He said, "In my 55 years of life, I've seen what the roads were like and what they're like now, and I'm not angry, I'm furious, because it's costing the business money and I can't change the taxi fare prices." Mr. Akhtar says he feels ripped off, estimating he spends approximately £30,000 a year on taxing his vehicles and £4,000 a year on taxi plate registration. "The only reason why the suspension gets hit so hard is purely because of potholes," he said. "For example, on my 1995 car, I only had to change the shocks and springs 4 years ago." He refers to roads he has driven on, comparing them to the current state here. He said, "I've driven on roads near Italy which were sweet as dust. I didn't hear a pothole for nearly 12 miles. Up until now, the roads were fine and being built properly as money was being invested into them. Now, it makes me sad to say, but what's so great about Great Britain, because the people are being deprived." He added, "We are struggling, but if we don't do what we need to do, the drivers and passengers will be in dangerous cars." Oxfordshire County Council has been contacted for a comment. The council previously announced declared plans to resurface more than 1 million square metres of road by late June 2026. The council has utilised special repair teams, dragon patcher repairs, and bobcat patching machines to fix the county's potholes.
The Wolvercote Literary Festival is returning, promising talks from published authors, workshops and a book fair. Organised by Oxford Independent Authors, OXIA, in collaboration with the Wolvercote and Wytham Midsummer Festival, the event will take place on Sunday, June the 28th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Wolvercote Village Hall. Launched last year, the one-day literary festival aims to connect local communities with writers. The festival will feature about 20 stalls with local authors, poets, publishers and organisations. OXIA is also launching a new short story collection initiative. The speaker programme for adults will include sessions on getting published, featuring Colin Wade, Steve Shepherd, Mary McCleary and Andy Seven. There will also be book launches and promotions by Charles Boundary, Kathy Weald, Steve Shepherd and Pete Tickler. In the afternoon, children can participate in workshops to encourage their interest in reading, writing and illustrating stories. Sessions include Step into the World of Story Writing, Creating Drawings for Stories, and a special story time with children's writer Molly Arbuthnot. All activities are free, but spaces for talks and workshops are limited, so booking is advised via Ticket Source.
A bus driver is leading a fresh approach to mental health support in his community. Rhys Smith, who has worked with the Oxford Bus Company since June 2024 and lives in Blackbird Leys, Oxford, launched the support group Men's Minds with his brother Aaron in September. The group, which now has 15 regular attendees, meets every other Friday for community sessions and every other Saturday for football meetups at Leys Pools and Leisure Centre. Mr. Smith said, "I've got a personal connection to this issue as there's a family history when it comes to mental health. The normal processes don't always work, and people can struggle to get the right support. I wanted to start something new and different, and the reaction from family and friends was huge. I was posting videos on social media, and they were getting lots of shares and comments. The group has steadily grown through word of mouth and outreach, which has included putting up posters in gyms, shops and barbers around Blackbird Leys, an area Mr. Smith knows well." He said, "In Blackbird Leys and Greater Leys, the rates for self-harm are higher than anywhere else in Oxfordshire. I've lived in Blackbird Leys all my life and I know everyone here. We began putting posters, leaflets and banners up in gyms, barbers and shops, and it's been growing since." Mr. Smith said, "We're all part of a brotherhood. There's a WhatsApp group where we check in and chat with each other. When we meet, we talk about our plans, we joke and laugh, and what we want to provide is something different to your average mental health group. I don't want people sitting in a circle watching a screen. It's about everyone talking and there being a togetherness." Recently, members of Men's Minds climbed Snowdon together. Mr. Smith said, "It was an incredible experience and I feel very fortunate to have completed it with the group of lads we went up with. It was by no means an easy task, but we all made it to the top. There were a few challenging moments along the way. However, we supported one another throughout and remained committed to not leaving anyone behind." His efforts have been recognised by his employer. Luke Marion, Managing Director of Oxford Bus Company, said, "We are incredibly proud of Rhys for the way he is tackling some of society's biggest issues. Mental health is something the business take very seriously, yet it's a topic which we generally shy away from as a community. Rhys is a real credit to Oxford Bus Company as he continues to open conversations and seek positive change."
Oxfordshire's life sciences sector was celebrated at a parliamentary showcase in May. The event was held in Westminster and involved businesses, national policy makers and sector leaders to highlight the region's impact on health innovation and economic growth. Hosted by Baroness Blackwood of North Oxford, it was held alongside Oxfordshire County Council and Advanced Oxford to promote discussion around sector challenges and opportunities. Neil Fawcett, County Council Deputy Leader, said, "Oxfordshire is one of the UK's leading centres for life sciences innovation, with world-class research being translated into real improvements in people's lives. This showcase highlighted the scale of opportunity in our county and the importance of continuing to invest in skills, infrastructure, and partnerships to support future growth. Speakers from Immunocore, Perspectum and Pictura Bio shared insights into their work and the wider potential of Oxfordshire's life sciences ecosystem, while also raising issues around skills and investment. Sarah Hayward, MD of Advanced Oxford, said, "It is important for the region to communicate its strengths and its role in the UK and global innovation economy."
Construction work is now underway on a historic building in Oxford's West End. Kingerley has been appointed as main contractor for the extensive redevelopment of Cante House on Park End Street by Elwood Fund Management in partnership with Landed. The project is scheduled for completion in spring 2027. Russ Black, head of asset management at Elwood Fund Management, said, "Cante House is one of Oxford's most characterful and recognisable buildings, and we're incredibly pleased to see work now beginning on site. Our vision has always been to restore the building in a way that respects its heritage, while creating something genuinely exciting and relevant for the city today." Originally designed in 1901 by architect H.J. Tollett, the red brick building was first used as office and warehouse space for furniture removers Archer Cowley & Co. Cante House later became known for its Cante Depositories signage, a feature that still forms part of its identity. Over the years, the building has served a variety of commercial and leisure purposes. Under the new plans, it will be carefully restored and transformed into a mixed-use destination, offering 30,059 square feet of modern office and hospitality space. Developers said the refurbishment will preserve the building's historic character while introducing Grade A office accommodation, new amenity areas, landscaped terraces, and a ground floor venue designed for both daytime and evening use. The redesign, led by Spratley and Partners, takes into account the building's location within Oxford City and University Conservation Area. The scheme places a strong emphasis on sustainable design and heritage retention, targeting accreditation and improved building performance. James Silver, Managing Director at quickly represents Landed's approach to development, repositioning existing assets to create outstanding offices and the continued shortage of best-in-class office project for us to deliver. Darren Arekion, Managing Director at Kingerley, said, "We are delighted to be appointed as the construction partner for this exciting project in a fantastic central Oxford location. With a strong local presence in Oxford, we are excited to be involved with the delivery of this high-quality office and hospitality space. This scheme offers an exciting opportunity to help revitalise the local environment, and we look forward to working closely with Elwood, Landed and the design team, led by Spratley and Partners."
A new, high-quality mushroom business has been launched on a hill overlooking Oxford City. Oxford Mushroom Farm officially opened on Monday the 29th of May with a launch party. Based on a previously unused patch of land beside Hinksey Heights Golf Club, the new business is providing fresh gourmet fungi to homes and businesses across Oxfordshire. Lifelong Oxford local Steve Hart, who studied at Cherwell School, Summertown, launched the farm in 2024. With an ambition to transform unused ground into something productive, sustainable, and community focused. Now, after 2 years of balancing the project alongside a full-time job as a builder, landscaper, and heating engineer, Mr. Hart has officially opened the farm to the public. He said, "Every decision has been intentional, from the growing environment to sourcing the best possible ingredients. I want the farm to produce high-quality food for Oxford, while also exploring the environmental benefits fungi can offer. Among the farm's offerings are lion's mane, oyster, shiitake, speckled chestnut, and other varieties of mushroom, with the business based around sustainability. Premium mushroom substrates are produced using sawdust, sourced as a natural byproduct from sawmills in the mountains of Snowdonia, combined with pure Snowdon Mountain spring water in collaboration with North Wales-based growers Fungi Foods. Alongside supplying fresh produce locally, Mr. Hart is also interested in the emerging science of mycorrhizal mediation, an eco-friendly technique that uses fungi to help break down ground pollutants and restore damaged land." He said, "My main goal is feeding Oxford, but also using science and Michael Mediation to help heal polluted land and fly tipping ground in Oxfordshire. The world needs healing, and I hope this will play a part and grow. And mushroom! The lead farmer, who recently has received a diagnosis of autism and ADHD, said creating the farm had been a major personal achievement. He said, after 2 years of hard work, I finally turned this space into something positive for the community. I really want to make the mushroom farm a success and create something that helps feed Oxford while bringing people together through food, science, art and nature. The launch saw visitors tour the farm and see the gourmet mushrooms growing with music and food on offer. As well as mushrooms, shoppers can also buy kits so that mushrooms can be grown at home, and with a range of dried mushrooms also being worked on. Products can be purchased at the farm or delivered directly to people's homes.
A milestone has been reached in a major international clinical trial. Oxford University Hospitals has recruited its 100th patient to the EASY Kidney Study, which is evaluating a potential new treatment for chronic kidney disease. The trial is testing whether the drug combination vicadrostat-empagliflozin can slow CKG progression and reduce cardiovascular events. Dr. Ben Story, consultant nephrologist and local lead investigator for EASY Kidney in Oxford, said, Oxford is making a substantial contribution to the recruitment efforts for this trial. We are delighted we have reached this milestone and to be playing such a key role in global kidney research. It reflects the strong collaborative efforts between our research and clinical teams, but also the enthusiasm among our patients to take part. The study is being run across 20 countries and aims to recruit around 11,000 participants. Churchill Hospital, part of OUH, has been involved since August 2024 and is currently the second highest recruiting site worldwide. CKD affects approximately 1 in 10 adults globally and is a leading cause of death. A previous study by Oxford Population Health, EMPA-Kidney, shows that empagliflozin could reduce the risk of kidney disease progression or cardiovascular health by 28% in patients with CKD. The current trial will compare outcomes using the new drug combination against empagliflozin. Participants are randomly assigned to receive either vicadrostat empagliflozin or a placebo, in addition to standard care. The trial is sponsored by Boehringer Ingelheim, which is also developing the therapy.
Tommy Robinson's debate on Islam at the Oxford Union has been postponed after speculation around security fears. The controversial figure, whose real name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon, was due to speak at the Historical Debating Society on the 28th of May. Yaxley Lennon has been jailed multiple times for a variety of offences, with his significant recent imprisonment in October 2024 for contempt of court. His planned visit had sparked furious backlash, with politicians in Oxfordshire saying he's not welcome to the city. But Lawrence Fox, a right-wing political activist and leader of the Reclaim Party, claimed that Yaxley Lennon's event is cancelled. The Oxford Union has disputed this and said discussions are ongoing and the event will go ahead at another date. The Oxford Union confirmed that the event has been postponed to allow for extra time to plan the event after the complexities of security. A statement from the union said, the fifth week debate has been postponed from the 28th of May to later this term to allow time for planning. We are grateful to our local partners and stakeholders for their continued support and engagement. We expect to confirm the new date shortly following discussions with our speakers. It comes as Oxford Union's president, Awa Alayres, faces resignation calls, insider leaks and condemnation from her own committee after secretly inviting Yaxley Lennon. A source close to the Oxford Union said, this is not an Oxford student politics story. It is a story about the normalisation of far-right figures in elite British institutions. and the fact that even traditionally left-wing spaces like Oxford University are no longer immune. Last week, Bishop of Oxford, Dr. Stephen Croft, and Imam Munawwar Hussain wrote a joint letter in which they say they are disturbed and saddened that the far-right leader was scheduled to appear at the Debating Society, which is more than 200 years old. Oxfordshire County Council was approached for comment.
A goat called Bailey has become a resident at an animal sanctuary after failing to settle in at a charity that pairs animals with children in special education. Bailey arrived in July 2024 at the Oxford Animal Sanctuary from the Special Education Project, but it turned out that he was not a fan of children. Not the noisy ones, not the quiet ones, not the ones offering treats. So it was decided that he might be happier somewhere with a strict no children policy. His new home at the Animal Sanctuary has a strict no children policy. The Oxford Animal Sanctuary said, "You have never seen a goat look more relieved." Within a day, Bailey had become a leader of the goat group. Describing his unmistakable tactic, the sanctuary said, "His signature move is the lean. He'll come over, press his full weight against your leg, and gaze up at you with enormous soulful eyes." While this seems like affection, it's actually a demand for treats. He expects them before anyone else. Beyond his treat rituals, Bailey is reportedly very affectionate and happy to spend time with those around him. Bailey has found a contented life at Oxford Animal Sanctuary.
There were high temperatures reported of up to 33 degrees centigrade in Oxford amid alerts and supermarket chaos. The UK has recorded its hottest ever May temperature, with provisional temperatures reaching 35 degrees centigrade in London and 33 degrees in Oxford on Tuesday the 26th. It followed the bank holiday Monday's record-breaking highs, with 33.6 degrees centigrade measured in Benson near Wallingford. The heat has caused some disruption in Oxfordshire, with reports of fridges and freezers within supermarkets breaking down. Multiple customers said they left the Aldi and Broadway Didcot without any chilled food due to broken cooling systems in the shop. Several other supermarkets in the county were showing empty shelves too, as products were returned to the warehouse to prevent spoilage, while fridges and freezers were out of action. One such store is the Waitrose in Bell Street, Henley, where cool shelves were cleared and a notice put up in place of products like dairy and meat. The notice said, "Due to the extreme temperatures and a breakdown of our main refrigeration units, we have unfortunately had to send our chilled and frozen products back to our warehouse to prevent the stock being destroyed." Dog police have called on the public to ensure dogs are not left in hot cars after one was found in a vehicle with the temperature dangerously high. The South Oxon and Vale of White Horse team said, "We are urging the public never to leave dogs in hot cars, even for a short time." PC Hackett attended a report of a dog left in a vehicle. Despite the windows being slightly open and a bowl of water inside, the temperature was still dangerously high, he said. The dog had to be removed and kept safe in an air-conditioned police vehicle until the owner returned, where advice was given. Cars heat up rapidly, even on mild days. Dogs cannot regulate their body temperature effectively and can quickly suffer or die. Leaving a dog in a hot car may constitute an offence under the Animal Welfare Act 2006. If you see a dog in distress, call 999 in an emergency, otherwise report via 101. Remember, if you wouldn't sit in the car, don't leave your dog in it.
A school could finally get a new roof after 10 years of delays. Clifton Hampton School in Oxfordshire has been waiting for urgent repairs since 2016. Complications, including the COVID-19 pandemic, changes in staff at Oxfordshire County Council, wildlife services, and the building's Grade 2 listed status have contributed to the long wait. The school's reading room has become cold and affected by a strong damp smell, and the school has had to increase spending on heating due to heat loss from the damaged roof. Jessica Fellows, Chair of Governors, said, We are very proud of our school, with the outstanding behaviour of our pupils, as recently rated by Ofsted, enhanced by its setting in the heart of Clifton Hampton Village. We understand that a listed building brings its challenges, but having to spend our limited resources on extra heating bills and constant chasing of Oxfordshire County Council for a response to the urgent works needed on our roof for the last 10 years has been extremely frustrating. We're grateful to Ollie Glover MP for helping us bring attention to this issue and hope that, come this winter, our children and staff can enjoy lessons in the warm, dry classrooms they deserve. After he raised the issue with Oxfordshire County Council, there is finally renewed progress on long-awaited repairs, offering hope that the roof will finally be replaced this summer. Mr. Glover said, "It was a pleasure to visit Clifton Hampton School, which provides a higher standard of education to local children. However, it was hugely frustrating to learn about the state of their school building and the delays in getting the roof repaired. School staff need to be able to focus on the education and well-being of their students, without having to worry about building repairs." He acknowledged broader issues across the education sector, adding, "So many of our school buildings need repair after years of underinvestment. The current government has made some positive changes, including an increase in the school's overall budget, and the expansion of free school meals to the poorest children, but a backlog of repair work across the country still needs to be tackled." He confirmed a contractor has now been identified. Mr. Glover continued, "Discussions are progressing well and plans are now in place for contractors to fix the roof at Clifton Hampton during the summer holidays. However, I will continue to work with the County Council and the school to ensure the repairs are completed promptly and effectively."
The John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford will host an award-winning Chelsea Flower Show garden in its grounds after the stunning display was gifted to the institution. Parkinson's UK was awarded a show garden at the world-famous RHS Chelsea Flower Show this May, putting together a garden for every Parkinson's journey. It was designed by award-winning gardener and BBC presenter Arit Anderson, and the garden reflects the journey of living with Parkinson's and invites people to experience the benefits of gardening. The garden won the People's Choice Award 2026, voted for by the public at the show. After the show ended, the garden was deconstructed by the charity, and it is hoped it will be reconstructed in the grounds of the John Radcliffe Hospital. Parkinson's UK's Director of Fundraising and Experience, Paul Jackson Clark, said, "Plans are already underway for the garden's relocation to the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford, a Parkinson's Centre of Excellence, ensuring that the Parkinson's community can continue to enjoy and benefit from its lasting legacy. However, the garden's final layout and structural elements are subject to planning permission and listed building consent. A planning application has been submitted to Oxford City Council to install the show garden in curtilage of the historic manor house, the oldest part of the hospital, which was built as a private home around 1770. The Grade 2 listed building was sold to the trustees of the Radcliffe Infirmary to use as a training school for nurses in 1917. And in the 1970s, the John Radcliffe Hospital was built on the surrounding 7-acre estate. The proposed site for the Parkinson's UK garden is a green space with trees that would be incorporated into the landscaping of the new garden. Plans show colourful planted flower beds around a curved walkway path, incorporating timber benches, a sculpture and sun shelter, a pond and trees, just as the show garden appeared in Chelsea, totalling more than £300,000 worth of plants and features. A statement from Parkinson's UK included with the application said, "A garden for every Parkinson's journey symbolises the journey of living with Parkinson's, the moments of adaptation, challenge, hope and connection. As part of our commitment to providing a lasting legacy, Parkinson's has sought a relocation site with deep ties to the charity's work. After considering five potential locations, we selected the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford.
A new series of maternity care videos is offering parents guidance and reassurance from pregnancy to birth. Oxford University Hospitals has launched the animated video series in partnership with the Thames Valley Local Maternity and Neonatal System and the Maternity Voices Partnership. The series aims to help women and families feel confident and informed throughout pregnancy, labour, and the postnatal period by delivering clear, accessible information. Sasha Ream, a consultant midwife at OUH, said, "I'm really grateful to the team and families who worked with us to help identify the key issues that were of concern and then helped us to provide easy to understand information. We hope it will be reassuring at this exciting but sometimes a bit overwhelming time for families." The videos explain what happens in theatre, labour positions, early labour, induction, pain relief, epidurals, colostrum expression, and more. They are available on the OUH maternity website. Millica Redfern, Director of Midwifery at OUH, said, "We are delighted to have been able to work on this project, designed to provide information in an easy-to-follow video format using animation, and I hope that it will prove useful. We are always looking at new ways to help reassure women and their families and to give them information in a way that is helpful to them to allow them to make informed choices." Julie Creffield, Interim Director of Maternity and Women's Services at Thames Valley Integrated Care Board, said, "I am delighted that these videos, which were designed by women and midwives across the local maternity and neonatal system, are available."
A new wearable baby bump monitor can provide round-the-clock care in high-risk pregnancies, a study at the John Radcliffe Hospital in Headington has found. The soft ultrasound patch continuously monitors the unborn baby for hours at a time, say scientists, and it does so consistently, even as the fetus and umbilical cord constantly move during pregnancy, according to a study published in the journal Nature Biotechnology. The device, which can spot early warning signs of potential deadly pregnancy complications such as preeclampsia, was made by engineers at the University of California, San Diego. The technology could help doctors detect complications earlier in high-risk pregnancies. In one case in clinical testing, the patch detected prolonged abnormal fetal signals, prompting medical intervention through an early cesarean delivery, which researchers say may have helped save the baby's life. The research team say the technology could also expand access to prenatal care in low-resource settings, where skilled ultrasound technicians and continuous long-term monitoring is often limited or unavailable. Researchers evaluated the wearable ultrasound patch in a multi-center clinical study at Jacobs Medical Center at UC San Diego Health and the John Radcliffe Hospital with scientists from Oxford University.
A new trial will explore whether a ketogenic diet could improve outcomes for people at a clinical high risk of psychosis. The University of Oxford study will be supported by a £1.17 million grant from the Bashuki Group and will focus on patients aged 14 to 35 in the early stages of psychosis who have not yet developed full symptoms. Dr. Amedeo Minicino, lead researcher and associate professor at the University of Oxford, said, "We see promise in ketogenic therapy as a non-stigmatizing, accessible intervention for those navigating early signs of psychosis. If effective, the diet could represent a novel tool that will allow us to intervene before psychotic onset." The trial will randomly assign 50 participants to follow either a 12-week modified ketogenic diet or a control diet. Progress will be measured using the CAARMS, Comprehensive Assessment of At-Risk Mental States tool. Participants will receive support from a registered dietitian and use glucose and ketone measure kits to track adherence, while the research team will monitor symptom severity, cognitive function, sleep, and physical health throughout the trial.
Three statues that usually sit on top of a landmark Oxford building can now be seen in person after more than 2 years of restorations. three of the nine muses which sat on top of the Clarendon Building in Broad Street will be on display in Blackwell Hall until September the 4th. The muses were removed from the building in November 2023 by Crane. Nine figures of Zeus's daughters by English painter Sir James Thornhill have stood on top of the building since 1717. However, only seven of the original muses remain. Euterpe, muse of music and lyric poetry, and Melpomene, muse of tragedy, fell down and were flattened in the early 19th century. Both of the lead figures were replaced in 1974 with fiberglass replicas. These mythical daughters of Zeus each represent a goddess of literature, science, or the arts. They are the muses of love and poetry, dance, music, astronomy, comedy, tragedy, rhetoric, epic poetry, and history. They were commissioned to continue the neoclassic Doric design of the building used by the original architect. A statue of Calliope, the muse of epic poetry, represented with a writing tablet, had fallen by 1780 and was damaged beyond repair. Calliope is one of the statues which is a lead reproduction of the original statue. Many historians and artists debate if she'll be returned to her rightful position in a central position looking down on Broad Street. Clio, the muse of history, and Polyhymenia, the muse of rhetoric, have just had slight restorations of their original lead statues. The Grade 1 listed building was built in 1711-15 to the designs of Nicholas Hawksmoor. It was originally built to house the Oxford University Press and owes its name to the fact that it was partly paid for by the profits from The History of the Great Rebellion by the first Earl of Clarendon, whose son presented the university with its copyright. The building was known as the Printing House until the University Press moved to Walton Street in 1832. The building now provides offices and meeting space for senior members of staff at the Bodleian Library.
The University of Oxford and Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust project created a therapeutic horticulture garden at the Meadow Unit, a Tier 4 Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, CAMHS, psychiatric intensive care unit. Designed for young people in acute mental health crises who need intensive, highly supervised care, the unit featured an outdoor area that staff described as barren and depressing. The project was part of a broader study into how nature can support recovery and benefit well-being for both patients and staff. Funded by the National Institute for Health and Care Research, Oxford Health Biomedical Research Centre. One co-researcher reflected, "It was so barren out there and depressing, so actually having some wildlife there, some plants, some bees, it adds some humanity." The scheme was developed through co-production, with medical and non-medical staff, ex-service users, estates colleagues, researchers, and a therapeutic horticulturalist collaborating over seven sessions between January and July 2024. They discussed all aspects of the garden, prioritising colour, scent, herbs for cooking, places to sit, things to touch, while ensuring every plant met strict safety requirements. Estate staff improved topsoil and installed a cladded path for safe, mud-free access. A layered planting design was selected to encourage biodiversity and attract pollinators, while remaining safe and manageable. On planting days, team members, including consultants, nurses, ex-service users, and receptionists, worked side by side in the soil, sparking discussions about where to put the lavender. As the garden took shape, staff reported seeing more worms and bees. The sensory engagement with the space was seen as a small but meaningful improvement to the environment. Even patients unable to access the garden directly benefited from the view. One staff member recalled how a patient in longer-term segregation quietly watched a flowerbed grow throughout the summer. The garden became a different horizon within the unit's secure architecture. Staff described the space as a way out of the pressure cooker, while the project itself softened workplace hierarchies by encouraging collective, non-clinical activity. Researchers named the approach hybrid green spaces. therapeutic environments that blur the boundaries between built and natural, inside and outside, patient and staff. The team now advocates for treating green spaces as core therapeutic infrastructure within NHS care, not just peripheral amenities. They believe that by supporting ecological collective flourishing, it's possible to create systems that care for both people and the environment. The project was shaped by contributions from PICU staff, ex-service users, estate services, and patient and public involvement contributors, whose lived experiences enriched the development of the project.
Deceased drivers are among the thousands of people hit with congestion charge and low traffic neighbourhood fines, new data reveals. There have been 13 penalty charge notices, PCNs, cancelled due to vehicle owners being dead, as the number of fines issued under the traffic schemes exceeds 250,000. The figures obtained by a Freedom of Information request do not show the circumstances under which a vehicle or vehicles belonging to deceased people have been driven into Oxford LTNs or congestion charge zones, but give a variety of reasons why PCNs were voided. It also reveals the number of fines issued for the duration of the congestion charge, which started on October 29, 2025, and the LTNs, which began on May 17, 2024, up to April 30th this year. The data set lists 64 causes for close to 14,000 fines being scrapped by Oxfordshire County Council. Two PCNs were cancelled as the vehicle owner was in prison, and one as it was a diplomatic vehicle. Ambulances had 36 fines revoked, the police had 16, two for the fire brigade, four due to the driver being a doctor on call, more than 1,000 for taxis, and over 4,000 vehicles without a registered keeper. Disabled drivers, people with medical reasons, untraceable, and foreign vehicle owners received cancellations. More than 5,000 PCNs were voided for a range of permit errors and for motorists who had paid for entry. Since their introduction, there have been close to 257,000 fines handed out to motorists who did not pay Oxford's £5 congestion charge fee or entered LTNs. Over 205,000 of these were for congestion charge, meaning that in the last 4.5 months, 175,000 fines have been given. The council is now set to take in over £5 million from the charge over 10 months. The figures also show the locations where drivers have most commonly entered charge zones and been issued a PCN. Thames Street had over 81,000, Hythebridge Street more than 48,000, St Clement Street was in excess of 31,000, St Cross Road was more than 22,000, Holloway was 11,000, and Marston Ferry Road was over 10,000. The four highest grossing roads for the PCNs issued are also those with the longest hours of charge in action. The County Council approved introducing the charge last September. It was introduced on October 29, 2025, and is set to end in August 2026 when the Botley Road reopens and traffic filters are introduced.
Oxford scientists have developed a faster way to diagnose bloodstream infections. The method uses rapid DNA sequencing to identify organisms causing the infections and predict antibiotic resistance. This advancement is expected to improve care for sepsis patients and help reduce unnecessary antibiotic use. Currently, up to 245,000 people develop sepsis each year in the UK, with 48,000 of those dying as a result. The current practice involves growing bacteria from a blood sample, a process that takes between 1 to 3 days. Once the bacteria are grown, they are tested against different antibiotics to determine which ones are effective. The new method, developed by a team supported by the NIHR Biomedical Research Centre in Oxford, uses genetic sequencing to identify bacteria in real time, allowing doctors to know within hours which antibiotics will be effective. The study was led by Professor David Eyre, Professor of Infectious Diseases at the University of Oxford's Big Data Institute. Professor Eyre explained, "We know that treating these bloodstream infections rapidly is vital to increase the chances of survival. But clinicians often need to start giving antibiotics before the lab results are available. All too often, the first antibiotics given to a patient do not kill the bacteria. So we need to change antibiotics, which delays patients getting the most effective treatment." The team utilized an Oxford nanopore sequencing device to read all the DNA in a positive blood sample. This enabled them to identify the infecting organism and look for known genetic markers of antimicrobial resistance. Dr. Kumaran Govenda, co-author and BBC Oxford researcher, said, "In nearly 300 samples, we showed that this was a highly accurate method for finding the bacteria that standard lab testing found, and it did this after much quicker than standard testing, around 3.5 hours after we first detected bacteria growing, instead of 12. We were also able to identify resistant infections 20 hours faster than the current standard testing. This study was the largest of its kind to use metagenomic sequencing on routine blood samples in a clinical setting. In addition to the common pathogens found by routine testing, this sequencing approach identified 18 additional bacteria that standard testing had not previously found." Professor Eyre, who also co-leads the NIHR-BRC, Oxford's Modernising Medical Microbiology and Big Infection Diagnostics theme, said these findings demonstrate the potential of sequencing to improve diagnosis of bloodstream infections and inform decisions about the most effective antibiotic treatments. His team will now conduct another BRC Oxford-supported study, comparing this sequencing method with 4 other potential new methods for identifying pathogens or antibiotic resistance in bloodstream infections. The team will also carry out a national survey of NHS hospitals to determine where these tests might have the most benefit for patients, alongside a health economic study to estimate which technology or technologies provide the best value for money for the NHS.
The Bishop of Oxford has warned the House of Lords of a massive hole in the government policy regarding online safety. Speaking during debate on the King's Speech in the House of Lords, the Right Reverend Dr. Stephen Croft told peers that British citizens' interests are not being served by global technology companies. The bishop questioned why the government had failed to include legislation on AI safety. Dr. Croft, who will retire from his role in the summer, said that there were urgent changes needed to the online safety regime. He said, "There are some things to welcome in the King's speech on technology. However, there is, for me, a massive hole in the centre of government policy in the area of online safety and security and the relationship between government and technology companies. The best interests of our citizens are simply not being served by a small number of global companies pledged to generate revenue and to meet the demands of their shareholders. We are seeing and will see an increasing distortion of human dignity and values in the interest of profit." Crossbench peer Baroness Kidron warned the government will be found profoundly wanting, particularly regarding child protection. Responding to the debate, Education Minister Baroness Smith of Malvern said, "The government has been clear it will be introducing some form of age or functionality restrictions in place for under 16 services by the end of the year."
Former Southampton and England striker Matt Letizia believes Oxford United should be challenging for promotion in League One next season. The Ewes finished 22nd in the Championship and were relegated with 2 games remaining after a tough second season in the second tier. Oxford will be looking to bounce back next season under head coach Matt Bloomfield, who oversaw an upturn in form since his January arrival, but was unable to achieve Championship survival. Last Boxing Day, the Yellows beat Letizia's former side, Saints 2-1, despite it being revealed that the visitors were spying on Oxford in the lead-up to the game. The Ewes had sacked Gary Rowett over only 3 days prior to that game and were under the caretaker leadership of Craig Short. Southampton had a tough time going to Oxford. They beat us on Boxing Day this season, and they've got a decent enough squad there to compete for promotion, the 8-time England international observed. They didn't disgrace themselves in the Championship, so I don't see there's any reason why they shouldn't feel like they can be challenging at the top end again. A lot of it's down to what players they get to keep. He continues, "It's a difficult one. A lot has to do with the finances, really. Whether or not you keep your players isn't down to whether the player wants to stay or not, first and foremost. It's down to, can we afford to pay his wages? And without knowing the ins and outs of Oxford wage bill, it's kind of difficult to assess that at the moment."
Major revamp plans to transform an Oxford University college, adding 70 student rooms and removing a Second World War bomb shelter, have been approved by the City Council. Mansfield College wants to demolish its John Marsh building and replace it with a new four-storey building with students' rooms, academic spaces, a new porter's lodge and a junior common room. The plans were discussed at the Oxford City Council Planning Committee meeting on Tuesday, May the 26th. There were no speakers against the proposals at the meeting and it was unanimously approved. Under the proposals, 104 bedrooms are to be demolished, and the new building will provide 174 bedrooms, meaning a net gain of 70. Other improvements include adding a three-storey extension with a lift to the Champneys building, allowing people with mobility issues to access the library by lift, while a bomb shelter at the side of the building would also be removed. A two-storey Mews building for plant and operational space would also be built. There would also be a pocket park where the enclosed area parking is along with improved cycle parking and a reduction in car parking. Thames Valley Police shared fears for security of staff and students due to three access points. The force questioned how they would be managed with a lack of security and surveillance of the Northern Wedge bike store. There was also a highways objection made. Oxford Preservation Trust added concerns about the scale and bulk of the replacement building, but also stated, "We're pleased to see that the Second World War history of the college will be reflected in the proposed interpretation plaque, and that the outline of the bomb shelters will be marked, and we also support the reinstatement of the Champneys corridor." Mansfield College said in its planning statement that the development is not aimed at increasing student intake, but simply to provide sufficient accommodation to meet its current needs. It currently rents 10 private properties with a total of 89 rooms, with the college stating that this would allow them to release these homes back into the market. It added that the existing John Marsh building, which was built in 1962, has poor Wi-Fi connection and is not well insulated. Helen Mountfield, KC, principal of Mansfield College, said, "It is the most significant transformation of the college estate since it moved to central Oxford from Birmingham 140 years ago, and an important moment for Mansfield."
Oxford United have made advances to sign Colchester United's Kyrie Slisby with Peterborough United, Reading FC and an unnamed Championship club, all chasing the winger's signature. Oxford United are looking to secure the services of Colchester United forward Kyrie Slisby, with the club having met with the player, our sister player the Reading Chronicle understands. This comes after sources close to the player said that Posh are leading the race to sign the winger over the summer, with Reading hesitant to meet Colchester United's valuation. It is understood that Oxford United, Reading FC, Peterborough United and an unnamed Championship club are all after the winger's signature. Oxford United held interest in the winger in January, but were blocked alongside Reading FC from signing the player, but Colchester United's chairman. The Posh's interest in securing Colchester United's Kyrie Slisby's services have been widely reported, with his twin brother Kyrell flourishing under manager Luke Williams, with Kyrell scoring 14 goals and registering 7 assists. Peterborough United have been pushing hard to secure the services of the winger in the summer transfer window, but the player sees Reading FC as the ideal move for his career. An estimated fee of between £500,000 and £750,000 is Colchester's current asking price. The deal fell through at the last minute when it was revealed that Colchester United decided against selling the player. Kyries won the Young Player of the Year award at Colchester's end-of-season awards last week, with the winger scoring 11 goals and registering 8 assists across all competitions. The winger got his first taste of senior football for Cray Valley and signed for Watford in 2021 before moving to Brentford less than a year later. The 22-year-old signed a permanent contract with Colchester in 2025 from Premier League sides Brentford's B team until the summer of 2027. That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, please telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. That's 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspapers skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.